John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 6, verse 25 to 35. And I'll be reading that in a moment. Two friends met on the street one day, and one of them looked so very sad. He just looked as though everything had fallen apart, almost at the verge of tears. And so his friend asked him, "My friend, what's going on? What's happened that you look so sad?" And the depressed fellow said, "3 weeks ago, an uncle died, and he left me $40,000. "Oh, that's a lot of money." "Yeah, but then 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never met passed away, and he left me $80,000. And his friend said to him, "It sounds like you've been really blessed." "But you don't understand," he replies. "Last week, a great aunt died, and I inherited a quarter of $1 million. And now his friend was really confused. "Why then be so sad?" And so he asked him, "So why then do you look so sad?" "Well," he says, "this week, nothing." So he had come to assume that every week he would be getting something now. He was taking for granted that one blessing would come after the next one. So translate that to your life. When you receive a blessing, don't we so often expect it to come again or something else to come again? We take it for granted. When we receive something on a regular basis, we expect it. Not many of us have received that kind of an inheritance. But we are blessed. We are blessed to live in a land of plenty, and as a result, we've come to be complacent and unthankful. Attitude is everything. And that also is true when it comes to our gratefulness and our thanksgiving. Some of the things that I will relate to today will affirm what Peter said last Sunday. And basically the thought of God is the source of all things. Everything that we have, if you really want to trace it back, it comes from God. And so a lot of the stuff that I will say this morning will affirm that. So, John chapter 6. So after the feeding of the 5,000, the storm at sea, and Jesus walking on water, we read this. Verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Here we find the crowd questioning Jesus again on how he's going to prove himself to them. Once more, after feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, Jesus had met their need for food. They had followed him all the way around the lake. And rather than recognizing the fact that they were being offered the solution for a real need, they were again asking for a superficial or a physical need to be met. And Jesus reminded them of the importance of what he was offering them. When they demanded physical food, he pointed them to the spiritual food by his teaching about the things of heaven. These Jewish listeners didn't understand what he was trying to teach them. So he made reference back to the manna that God provided for the Israelites when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And again, Jesus turns the discussion to things of a supernatural nature, or of a spiritual nature. And then he tells them that he is the bread of life. And by believing in Jesus, they would never be hungry, at least not in the things of eternal significance. I ask myself, do we as God's children, as people who have been born again, put other supposed needs ahead of the need of the bread of life which Jesus is offering? Do we get so caught up with the pursuit of the day-to-day things and desires for possession, and in the process neglect to give thanks for the only thing that really matters for eternity? We have been blessed by God in so many ways, and yet we are so much like the people in our text. We too want Jesus to do one more thing for us. They weren't satisfied with what he had already done. They wanted yet another demonstration of his power, so then they would believe. Show us once more, and then we'll believe. Lord, if you will do one more thing for me, then I will believe you. Perhaps you are here this morning and don't feel too blessed. Maybe you can't see the gifts that God has already given you. Maybe you feel overwhelmed by life itself and don't recognize the blessings. Or could it be that we accept these blessings as the norm, as our illustration in the beginning indicated, as something we have come to take for granted? How can we overcome this mindset of indifference in an ungrateful world and in a rat race culture? How can we overcome that mindset? How can we move towards a true spirit of thanksgiving? How can we encourage each other to see the bigger picture of a world around us that seems to be falling apart and we accept it as the norm? I don't have all the answers. But I do believe we need to be aware of God's blessing in all things and be thankful even when it seems impossible to do so. I don't know how many of you listened to or heard Living Truth last night. watch price. And I had my notes on my desk. And here I was listening to him preach his sermon. And again he was saying some exactly same things that I am sharing with you today. And it blessed my heart to hear somebody else say that. Be thankful even when it seems impossible to do so. We need to recognize the blessings of things we've come to take for granted. Is it time for us to focus on what we have rather than on what we do not have? Would it improve our attitude? Just a few things that would help us to be grateful. We need to be thankful that we don't already have everything we want. Have you ever been thankful for that? That you don't have everything you want? What happens if you have everything you want? You have nothing to look forward to. Pretty simple, isn't it? Be grateful when you don't know everything gives you the opportunity to learn. Be grateful for the difficult times. Those times help us to grow. Be grateful for limitations because they give you opportunities for improvement. And by the way, limitations also help us to realize that we need others. Be grateful for new challenges because they build strength and character. Be grateful for your mistakes. They teach valuable lessons. Be grateful when you're tired and weary because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for the good things, isn't it? But fulfillment comes when we are also thankful for the setbacks. As hard as it may be, we need to find ways to be grateful for our struggles. They can become our blessings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul wrote something that we need to consider. And he writes this, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Why do we boast as though we did not receive it, but we earned it? The story is told of a college graduate who was feeling rather proud of himself. He had aced his exams. And he was now a CPA, certified accountant. His father, an immigrant, owned a little business. And so he began to criticize his father's way of keeping records because now he knew how to do it. And he said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. In this drawer are your accounts receivable. Over there are your receipts, and you keep all your money in the till. You have no idea how much you've made." The father was quiet for a moment, and he said, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor. Your sister is an art teacher. You are a chartered accountant. Your mother and I own our home. We have a car. We own this business. Now add that all up, subtract the pants, and the rest is profit." He made it pretty simple. And I think that's where we so often fall short. We don't add it all up. We came into this world with nothing but the eternal soul that God has placed within each of us. Think about that for a moment. We came into this world with a soul that God has placed within each of us. Everything else is profit. Another illustration. A poor man was given a loaf of bread and he thanked the baker, but the baker said, "Don't thank me, thank the miller who made the flour." So he thanked the miller, but the miller said, "Don't thank me, thank the farmer who planted the wheat." So he thanked the farmer, but the farmer said, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord. He gave the sunshine and the rain and the fertility to the soil, and that's why you have the wheat to eat." So it doesn't matter how sophisticated and scientific we may become, we still cannot create. We still can't make a kernel of wheat. That has to come from God. God gives us the things we need in order to live on this planet. And we need to add it all up and recognize where it really came from. I believe there are at least three attitudes that steal our gratitude and keep us from being thankful. One is our pride. And so often you hear people say, "I've worked for this. I've worked so hard for everything I have. I deserve it." This is the attitude that says, "I did it. Nobody ever gave me anything. I have worked for it, and now at last the loan is paid off. I studied so diligently, and now it's finally paying off." This attitude makes us believe that we have no one to pat on the back but ourselves. The credit is all ours. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, we find something to complain about. A lady was known to be an incurable complainer, incurable grumbler. And so constantly she would complain about everything. And then her pastor one day thought of something. He thought he found something that would really make her happy. So he paid her a visit and he says to her, "You must be very happy. Your potatoes look so really look so good this year. They look healthy." And her reply, "Oh, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need some bad ones to feed to the pigs?" Didn't realize that she could feed good potatoes to the pigs as well. Constant grumbling, a critical spirit. Third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. The Israelites grumbled because they had no food, so God sent manna, a crust like bread, every day except on the Sabbath. And then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. It got monotonous. It got boring. God gave them a miracle every day, but they were no longer satisfied. And so let me ask you this morning, what is it that steals your gratitude? Is it pride? Is it carelessness? Is it a critical spirit? Or is there something else? Don't let these attitudes get in the way of our gratefulness. And then we ask the question, so how do we get it right? Well, let me make a few suggestions. First of all, I think it would help to express it, to express our gratefulness, our thankfulness. One of the choruses that we sing is found in Psalm 100. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Express it. David says in Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And listen to this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Express it. In Luke chapter 17, we read about 10 men who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. But only one of them came back to express his gratefulness and his thankfulness. And Jesus asked the question, where are the other nine? Only one was willing to take time to go back and say thank you. And because he did, Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. Have you ever wondered about why Jesus said that? All had already been healed of their leprosy. But when Jesus says to this one man, he says, your faith has made you well. He wasn't just talking about a physical healing. He was talking about a spiritual healing, a mental healing. This man now is made whole. We too are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists tell us that sincere gratitude or thankfulness is the healthiest of all human emotions. Studies show that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will fall away. Their hearts will become hardened, and they will fall away. So what are some ways in which we can express thanksgiving to God? Well, just a list here. I'll go through it quickly. Spend time with him. Spend time with God. And I'm not talking just about on Sunday morning for 1 hour and then wish that the sermon was over soon, so that you could go home. Forgive others. We express thanksgiving and gratitude by forgiving others. We express thanksgiving and gratitude by serving in church or volunteering or doing something like that. We express thanksgiving by sharing his plan of salvation with others, reaching out to hurting and needy people, genuinely praising him from the heart. And our thankfulness should always be unconditional and generous. It should include at least three things. One, the blessings of life, our daily provisions that we expect or that we take for granted every morning when we get up. Every evening, you ladies thank God for a sink full of dirty dishes. I got your attention at least. Maybe you don't, but we should. We should. A sink full of dirty dishes indicates, and it usually means that we have been blessed with daily food and water. Just the other day on the TV headline news, this headline came up, water rationing hits California. We don't expect it to happen where there's oodles of water, we think. But water rationing is happening. They're running out of water. 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night. And Charles Price last night had a whole list of stats that he referred to in regards to that. And I haven't gone that to look for those. Just think of the displaced people in the world today. In situations they may have no control over. You think of ISIS. They are without food and water and shelter and under the threat of death. You either convert to the Muslim faith or you die. In our prayers, we thank God for the blessings He has showered upon us. But what blessings? Our prayers are so general, we say, thank you, God, for all the blessings. What blessings? We sang in the song here just a little while ago, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Should we be more specific? Secondly, our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life, the hard stuff. And that's difficult. That's hard to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Please take note, in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks. And you may think that, Paul, you made a mistake here. You aren't thinking right, but he didn't. Paul suffered from what he called a thorn in the flesh. He had also been run out of town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by friends, shipwrecked, naked, cold, hungry, stoned because of his faith. And yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. He had a proper perspective of the burdens of life. For example, in Romans 8, chapter 18, he says this, consider that your present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he says, that is why, for Christ's sake, and listen to this, I delight in weakness, insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we have the proper attitude, we too can give thanks in all circumstances. In our weaknesses, God can make us strong. When we are struggling, God is able to work in our lives. He carries us through situations we could never face on our own. Paul is not saying that we have to be thankful for our problems, but rather in them. And when we can be thankful in our problems, He's going to supply what we need to conquer that. And being thankful in them allows God to use them for His greater good. The Philippian jailer was ready to take his life because an earthquake freed his prisoners. But what saved him was the attitude of Paul and Silas during their difficult imprisonment. When they were singing and praising God, even though they were held in chains. They knew God and they trusted Him. And because of their joy, because they expressed it, the jailer and his entire household became Christians. Thirdly, be thankful for the benefits of life. When the Israelites focused on what they did not have, they failed to see all that they did have. It is easy to make a long prayer list, but try making a praise list. You can easily come up with a whole bunch of things that you want to ask God for. But but try coming up with the same number of things to thank him for. It's harder. We've all had some difficult times. We've all had our struggles. We've all had our times when we've almost despaired of life itself. We've had those times. A friend of ours passed away during this last year. He had gone through a number of cancer surgeries, but he would always say, God is good. And some of you know who that is. God is good. A young lady in our church has been a tremendous encouragement to me of recent. Her gracious attitude and positive attitude facing her surgery was highly commendable. Thank you, Megan. Can you say today that God is good? Do you face life with an attitude of gratitude? If we really look at the benefits, all the benefits of life, I think we will find that it is good to be alive. To feel the wind in our face. To see the sunrise. To see the beauty of God's creation. To see our newborn child, our grandchild, or our great-grandchild for the first time. Or to love someone. Or have a friend hug you and say you're special. As we look around us at the land of abundance that we live in, my prayer is that we will see through new eyes the many ways that God is blessing us, and not only materially. And never take God or those blessings for granted. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we see God for who he really is. And see ourselves as people who have been blessed beyond measure. People who need to give thanks to the giver of all good things. We have been given the bread of life. We know this bread, and we have had our hunger satisfied. And it is now time to be truly thankful to God, who deserves our thanksgiving. And then share these blessings with others around us and beyond. I want to read, I want to close by reading Psalm 100 and a prayer. After the prayer, I'll ask Ken to come and lead us in a closing song. Listen to the words of Psalm 100 carefully. I will try and read it slowly, so that we can just let these words kind of sink in. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Express it. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful because we have been blessed beyond measure. When we see so many people are suffering, you provide for us a bounty. We are grateful for the ultimate sacrifice for our sins through your Son, Jesus. We are grateful for family and friends that support and encourage us. We are grateful for your strength when we need help getting back on our feet. We are grateful for second chances when we make mistakes and fall. Lord, let us never forget, but also be generous in sharing these blessings with those in need. Thank you for keeping us in your care. We pray it in Jesus' name. And we ask that you would dismiss us with your peace. Amen.